Wilco is coming to town. They will be headlining the Moon River Festival on Sunday evening, starting at 9:15. Drew Holcomb spends much of the year organizing the festival, but this weekend, along with the rest of us, he'll be a fan, checking out the bands. Wilco, particularly, is a real get for him. So look for him in the crowd on Sunday evening. The Moon River Festival opens in Coolidge Park tomorrow afternoon with the Rebirth Brass Band at 12:30. This is the third Moon River, but it must feel a bit weird to have, a bit like, I guess, throwing a stone on water, you know? You do one festival, two festivals, the stone goes bing, bing, fine, and then, oh, the stone sunk. That's supposed to be the third festival. And that's pretty much what happened, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's hard to even sort of think about how to frame the whole experience of having this festival and then having to cancel it, and then the period of time we had where we were basically in a holding pattern of whether or not we're going to be able to do it this year, and then obviously in the first quarter when all the vaccine numbers looked really good, you know, I mean, thankfully we're not alone. We're like, there's other industry people who were sort of watching, you know. But as far as the actual experience of it,
yeah, I wonder what that felt like, because you, the last time I talked to you, you were well on the way to organizing a festival, and you had all the acts, or at least many of the acts booked, and it must be weird to have to sort of say, okay, sorry, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I mean, I think by the time we had to cancel it, everybody sort of knew. I was able to sort of grieve it in advance, because I think at that point, yeah, I think we all knew it was coming. So there wasn't really a sense that there was any choice, you know.
It just strikes me that it was doubly difficult for you, because you, well, actually, I suppose, come to that, you had three challenges. You have your family, and of course they're impacted by it. You have your band, and so you've got that going, and then you're organising a festival. So you were hit three times at once, in some sense, weren't you?
Yeah, it was. And that was the hardest thing to cancel, the whole sort of pandemic thing, was Moon River, you know.
Was it really?
I think at first, when, you know, it was like early March, you know, everybody basically canceled everything through the end of July. Mm. And then, you know, because we're in uncharted territory, everyone thought, oh, this thing will blow over by the middle of the summer, you know. Mm. So I think everybody had this idea, like, oh, by the fall, we're going to have it figured out. And, you know, I mean, you know, Bonnaroo moved from June to September, and Lollapalooza and Austin City Limits, they're all still up and sold out. And then, you know, but by the middle of the summer, you know, when that second little wave came, it was clear that Moon River was going to be not happening, and we're going to, you know, start playing the next one, which is what we've done, and super thrilled about it.
Is that how it worked? You said, okay, well, we'll just act as if this year didn't happen and just start planning for the next year.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly wanted to book a similar lineup, but everybody's lives were upended so much that there was no way that, you know, that was going to happen. So it was more, it was just a matter of, you know, starting fresh in a way, because once we knew that it, once we started having conversations with the former lineup, it was like, oh, this is too hard. You know, we've got to just start over.
Mm. I don't know. It seems to me that in many ways, this is perhaps the strongest lineup you've ever had.
I think it is. I know for me, Wilco in particular is a dream lineup headliner for me. And so to have them on it, I'm as happy as I can be. there's so many great acts on it, like Street Dive, I love them, Ketch and Old Crow. I mean, it's Amethyst, Kia, she's such a, you know, we've got a lot of folks who are sort of having a moment right now, which is really fun, you know.
That's exactly what I was thinking, and that's the joy of doing this kind of thing, isn't it? Because to to some extent, I mean, you don't have a crystal ball any more than I do, so you don't know for sure, but there's that instinct that you have, I think, right, about an act.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we had Yola on the lineup last year, and then we have her on the lineup this year, and right now she's exploding, and so you never know where it could be the kind of thing where in a couple of years she's, you know, big enough to headline the festival, or you never know, maybe she's too big for the festival. I mean, it's you never know.
You have, just in the center of the bill, three very strong women, Yola, Amethyst Kia, and Molly Tottle.
Yeah.
All of whom are, or could be said to be having a moment. Certainly Amethyst, that album that she just released, has gotten really good press, and deservedly so, I think. I think it's a great record.
Yeah, I think it's a great record too. I really loved how she sort of reinvented the song Black Myself. I mean, I liked it before. I heard her play it on Kayamo, just her and a guitar, and it was already a great song. But to hear it sort of reimagined as a bigger sort of R&B pop song was like, oh, okay, this is like, now we're talking. You know?
It's powerful, isn't it? Yeah, and I've never heard anybody make music quite like that before. And I'm not sure that when she started making it, she had either. She didn't really have a model for it, you know. She just said that her producer said, well, why don't we try it? It's music you listen to, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess young black women, generally speaking, don't listen to alternative music and heavy metal. And so she thought, I wonder how that's going to work.
Yeah,
it works beautifully. It's inspired. It's fun talking to you, Drew, because not only are you a musician with a good band and a promoter, but you're a fan. And I think that's what makes this festival what it is. It has the feeling of something that if another fan put it together, the lineup would look very similar. I chose these acts because I like them and I believe in what they do and I really want to share it with you kind of thing.
Well, that's certainly my perspective. I am a great example of that on this bill, and I don't think they would mind me telling the story. Was I Ellie and I have some very good friends here in our neighborhood that we sort of, you know, raise kids with, go to dinner with, or some of our best friends, and they've been to every Moon River since the inception in Memphis. And I asked the wife, I said, is there anything you're listening to that I should be listening to? Her husband had already shared his opinions without me asking, so I wanted his opinions too, but he was going to give them to me anyway. I said, yeah, you know, anything you listen to? She said, well, I found this song on Spotify. I've been listening to it. It's on my running playlist, and it's this band, Overcoats. It's two young women. And so I listened to the song, and I sent it to my partners, and I said, hey, y'all know anything about this band? They're incredible. Love this song. The song's called Fire and Fury. And he said, well, I'll find out. So I said, yeah, they're seem like they're starting to have a little thing going. But do you want to send them an offer? And I said, yeah, let's send them an offer. And they said yes. And so that's how that one came to be. You know, just a simple recommendation that I liked the song a lot and did a little research on them and like what they're up to. And they said yes. So it is as simple as I'm a fan of music, and I have a lot of friends who happen to also be very good at music. So that's been fun, you know.
Well, it is. The way you're describing it, it sounds like a fan making a wish list for fans.
Yeah, yeah. And we certainly put a lot of effort into trying to get feedback from people on the front end about who they would like to see at the festival. But we also have to take chances on stuff. And you're trying to make a mixture of things. Like, you know, you want to have you want to have some bands that make some really fun music, you know, so it's always great to have, like when we had St. Paul and the Broken Bones, it's a big fun show. Like Street Dive is very similar, you know, they just put on a really big fun show, you know. So you also in our neck of the woods, you want to have some folks that sort of lean into the sort of more bluegrass family tree, and so, you know, having Old Crow and Molly Tuttle on the bill is great. And then obviously, I like having some rock and roll bands on there, area. So having American Aquarium and Dr. Dog, I mean, it's a puzzle every year because you're managing not only styles of music, but you're managing regions of where people come from, and you want to have a diverse lineup of people. You want to have a diversity of music. You want to have, people that are new that people haven't heard of, and then you want to have big names that people know of. And so it's a lot of fun. It's a challenge, but we like it.
Well, it's a nice challenge, isn't it? Yes, you are in a position to give somebody a spotlight. Overcoats is a good example. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people like me coming to the festival who aren't familiar with Overcoats, and they will hear them because they went to the festival to see somebody whose name they knew. That's how it works, isn't it? And then you have Alison Russell on the bill. And I think, I just think she has a beautiful voice.
Oh, she's incredible. Yeah, and we've known her for a while from when she was in a group called Birds of Chicago.
Yeah.
And she's really, taken a big chance on with her record of telling some pretty hard truths about her own story. And I love when that resonates with the general public, because that's true art. You know, someone takes a chance and puts themselves out there in a new way, and it works. Because people resonate with that, so I'm honored that she's coming.
It's interesting that Alison Russell should have put out that record at the same time, more or less, that Amethyst put hers out. They're both very personal records, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
It's cool that you're bringing a brass band too, the Rebirth Brass Band.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite things is I feel like that first slot at the festival, which is the sort of 1 o'clock or noon, 12:30. On the main stage on Saturday, it sort of sets the tone, and we've had, our first year in Chattanooga, we had a band, Friends and Family, who are sort of this very fun sort of folk pop band. And then 2 years ago, we had the New Respects, who are another sort of, big rock and roll fun band. And so I love Rebirth Brass Band. They're just a blast, and I think they just kind of just bring a certain amount of energy to kick the festival off, which will be a wonderful way to kickstart the weekend.
I agree. These young brass bands out in New Orleans are so much fun, because so often they integrate hip hop, and it's a perfect combination, and that energy just one amps up the other.
Yep.
The Moon River Festival starts at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon in Coolidge Park. Our guest is both a band leader. He and his wife Ellie lead Drew Holcomb and the Neighbours, who will be playing the festival on Sunday evening. But he's also the organiser of the festival, an Uber fan who wanted to put together a festival for a range of tastes and styles. This is Lake Street Dive. They are set to take the stage at 7 tomorrow evening.
Being a woman is a full-time job. I wake up in the morning and I punch the clock. And people tell me take it easy, but they don't say to stop. Being a woman is a full-time job.
Being a woman is a full-time job.
Being a woman is a full-time job. And I work all day. Being a woman is an uphill climb. 80 cents on the dollar, and you need every dime. 'Cause you've got a little baby, and she cries all the time. Being a woman is an uphill climb.
Being a woman is an uphill climb.
When you're a woman, you work full time. Yeah, you work all day and you work all night. No lunch breaks, no minimum wage. Yeah, most of the time I don't even get paid. I spend my lifetime slaving away for you. And if I complain, then blame my feelings. But look at the view from my glass ceiling. Barely see that sunlight stealing through. Being a woman is a full-time job. And when we stand up and protest, we're called an angry mob. While another lone gunman loads up his shots. Being a woman is a full-time job.
Being a woman is a full-time job.
Being a woman is a full-time job.
So you've been doing this altogether, this is the sixth festival, right? You did three in Memphis, and this is your third one in Chattanooga.
That's right.
Is there anything about putting these things together that surprised you?
Well, there's been, I mean, early on, there were a million surprises. I didn't realize how difficult it was to manage, you know, porta potty security and things like that. So I'm so glad that I've got a great partner with AC to manage those bits of it that Paul and I used to manage ourselves. But besides the sort of practical complications of it, I think my favorite thing that I've learned is how the festival itself becomes its own sort of living, breathing community and an organism that sort of has grown out, you know, beyond just, I mean, I would bet that there are plenty of people now that come to the festival that have no idea who I am and that have no idea that I've started this. And that's fine with me, you know, because I wanted to create something that could exist on its own without my name on it. I'm glad my name is on it. I'm honored my name is on it. I love, I'm very proud of it. But I think it's now a part of Chattanooga's story. It's part of Tennessee's story. And it's part of, you know, the sort of Americana genre story. It's like one of our sort of marquee festivals that this is where people come to, like, you know, hear a lot of bands in this sort of similar umbrella, whatever Americana is. I mean, it's obviously a large tent, but and not everybody we have fits under it. But yeah, I just am been surprised by the life that it's taken of its own.
Yeah, that's fun. I guess each year is different. It's not, yeah, like you can, oh, say, yeah, oh, we're doing the festival, because each time it's as if it's, as you say, it reinvents itself. So each year, yeah, it's you start again. Which brings me to, it's unusual, I think, Drew, if not unique, for a musician to curate something like this, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's not completely isolated. I mean, I got the idea from a couple different other acts. Grace Potter used to have a festival in Vermont called Grand Point Norse, the Mumford & Sons guys did a sort of traveling festival called Gentlemen of the Road. Lucero has an annual event in Memphis called the Family Picnic, where they have five or six bands play. They always headline. Wilco has a festival that they do in Amherst, Massachusetts, at the university there. So there are a handful of them out there, and that's honestly I mentioned that to Jeff Tweedy when he reached out to them. I said, hey, you and your band are part of the inspiration for this festival, the idea of an artist curated event. So they're rare, but they do exist, and I hope that and obviously on this bill, Shovels and Rope curates High Water Festival in Chattanooga. I mean, and sorry, in Charleston. So there are some of us who do it. I don't know, some probably are more involved than others as far as, how hands-on the artists are in that. But, Willie's been doing this for years with his 4th of July picnic, down in Texas. So there's some sort of, history of it, but I wish more and more people do it. And Isbell started one as well, and Shoals, called Shoals Fest. So, it's happening. There's more and more of it is happening. I think it's a good model because, I think the promoters and the artists know that at least every year they have a baseline bit of support from the host artist fan base. So it's a cool way to do it, I think.
It is a cool way to do it, but I think perhaps the reason that only a handful of people have done it is, as you will attest, it takes a lot of time.
Yes, it's very difficult. That's true. That is, I won't argue with you on that.
How much of your year is spent on Moon River these days?
I'd say it's probably a half day a week most of the year.
So that's pretty significant.
Maybe not quite that much. Maybe a half day a week every other week on average.
And then
as it gets closer to it, it's a lot more.
That's what I figured. So let's compare that to playing with the band. How many days a week do you typically play with the band?
Well, pre-COVID, I was doing 80 shows a year, so let's add another 20 days for travel. So, 100 days a year, the band.
So that's about...
That's 2 days a week.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, 2 days a week. So 2 days a week, you're doing, if you will, your day job, and then another half day a week, you've taken on a second gig.
Well, that's true. That doesn't include all of the songwriting and recording day, which is probably another 50 to 70. So, I wouldn't say I have a lot of free time,
And not to mention, of course, that there's the other added wrinkle of those two little ones who like to see you occasionally.
Yes. In fact, they've gotten plenty of me in the last year and a half, so they're probably ready to see me out the door a few more days a week.
Probably not. Not judging from that song you wrote about family, that to me is the ultimate song of celebrating what it means to be together as a family.
Family. Singing in the kitchen. Family. Running through the yard. Family. Going on vacation. Family. On a credit card. Family. All in this together. Family. We're taking a chance. Shoes and dance. Hey! On the way to the city, family. Laughing in the rain, family. It ain't always pretty, family. Could drive you insane. sons and daughters,
family.
Like a photograph,
family.
Baptized in the water,
family.
Put me on the map.
Family.
All in this together,
family.
We're taking a chance.
And everybody else in the family has equally, I'd say. Yeah. Looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is going to be fun. It's been the big star on my calendar since we pushed the green light. I'm grateful for people's patience and in the midst of all of everyone getting their lives sort of upended and canceled. And I think that it's gonna feel to me. I've done a bunch of shows this summer and late spring, but I think I've been saving my expectant celebratory part for this weekend. And so I particularly have a lot of sort of aces in the pocket emotionally. For Moon River, and I'm excited to sort of put them on the table finally.
I can imagine. Do you get to enjoy the acts yourself at all when they play at the festival? Do you get to watch?
Yeah, I do. I try to sort of bounce back, and I try to catch at least 15 minutes of every show from side stage or from where the security guards are. In years past, there have been more people on the bill that I've known personally. Like, there's probably less old friends on this bill and more bands that I'm just a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
So that should allow me actually more time to watch more music, because I won't be having to catch up with as many old friends backstage. So I plan to leave the weekend with a handful of new friends, obviously. So, but I historically try to catch the front end or tail end of every act. And that's one of my favorite thing about our festival, is that we don't compete sonically. It's every act has the festival ears to themselves. So
I'll look for you in the crowd.
I thought about, I shouldn't even tell you this, but I have an incognito plan for one of these years. It won't work this year, but one of these years I'm going to figure out how to just blend in for the whole weekend.
Does Ellie get to enjoy it too?
Oh, she does. Yeah, she loves it. We bring a babysitter for the kids, so she doesn't have to. Neither one of us have to be sort of on that the whole time. But Ellie loves it. She'll catch a bunch of the shows as well.
And I guess your children are getting older now, obviously, as they do. So there's going to come a point where they'll be able to enjoy it by themselves, and you won't have to worry about them.
Yeah, that's true. That would be very fun. They know Catch from Old Crow. His kids and our kids go to school together, so they're going to be pretty excited to see his show. I know.
And I think maybe thinking about it, you know, I think that's maybe the central vibe of the festival. This is curated by a family, and it feels like something put together by a family. It has that vibe on the site.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of families that come. I mean, just the ease of access as well from so many, you know, larger cities, and people love Chattanooga. It's such a great town to do other things in. You know, you can go on a hike in the morning and be at the festival by lunch. So people bring their kids, and we've noticed that there are always a lot of families at the festival. A lot of people bring children, which fine with me. You know, we got the fountains in the back. So if they get hot, they can go cool off.
Yeah, now you bring that up. I have to tell you, I was surprised when we just wandered around the site the last time you were here at how many people were not native to Chattanooga that had come to the festival. You know.
Yeah. We've got a lot of. I mean, I think we had. I'm within 5 or 10 here, but I want to say we had 33 states represented in 2019, and not less than 6 or 8 countries. So
the tourist board must be happy with you, Drew. Chattanooga tourist board.
I hope so.
It's always fun to talk to you, buddy. I hope I get to see you at least for a few minutes when you're here.
Yes, I borderline demand that we get to say hello. So okay. I hope we can find each other.
I'll hold you to that.
All right, sounds good.
It was a pleasure.
All right, talk to you soon, Richard.
Thanks, Drew. Cheers.